manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You all know why I'm here, not an order, and I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause, but I'm a soldier, and we are at war.
We seem to never learn, here we go again, they rallied up the troops, God forgive the sin, hidden agendas, can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love isn't fatal, there's no fatalities. Hate supports U.S. principalities. In this separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With the vicious attack, crossing borders with might. I'm foot catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston, and he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress of waiting for the tension of battle, readying to make war, making peace with their God.
You're listening to TruthLoveFreedom.org.
Today is August 14th, 2008, and today we're going to be talking about the history of domestic surveillance in the good old USA.
It's a great song for the topic matter. Enjoy.
All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I
there's ever a song that's appropriate for the subject matter, it's that one.
That was it, definitely. Good old 80s.
Do you ever feel like anyone's watching you?
They are. Like we said last week, if you've got a webcam, they're probably literally watching you right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Cover it with a Post-it.
Yeah, exactly. You got a battery in your phone, it's off, don't matter. Mm-hmm. They can listen in on you now.
Yep.
And, you know, there's been a whole history. You know, it's funny because in recent history, you hear a lot about wiretapping and things like that. The Bush administration, everyone's up at arms about
terrorism.
It. Terrorism, yes. But this isn't the first time they've tapped our phones and done this stuff. And matter of fact, this actually goes back quite a ways. I find it interesting.
Yeah, more than arguably, you can easily and honestly say that as long as the technology has been available, it's been done.
Yeah, so the question is, I guess, at least the question I want to pose to you, is why does it matter so much today?
Well, it doesn't, because if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to hide.
Right.
That's what my dad says.
Yeah, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So who cares
nothing.
If they watch you?
Unless he listens to Meyer's show, and he will find out there's plenty to worry about.
Or
there
just,
is a lot to worry about.
You might not be doing something that's wrong today, but what you're doing today could become wrong tomorrow.
Exactly. Like perhaps a certain faith.
Yeah, a certain speech about something or another.
Certain political belief. Mm-hmm. You could perhaps be outraged by a certain political decision, and you could say the wrong things, and if you go to a secret military prison, no one ever sees you again.
Yep. It's in Arizona, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the question we're posing on this whole thing when we get into all this topic matter. What is the big deal? Why all the controversy? What is all the drama about tapping phones today? Because if you think that this is the first time it's happened in U.S. history, you are dead wrong. Dead wrong. Matter of fact, it was going on right up until the controversy today.
Yeah, and I'm sure it still is. I mean, some of the information we have now was released after decades, finally released, and you find out the extent of wiretapping and, you know, surveillance and whatever else. I mean, what makes you think that in 30 years we're not going to find out something just as horrifying?
Right. And here's the thing, too, and this is another thing to keep in mind. The stuff we're going to cover today is stuff that is known. That means it's stuff that we're already aware of.
Yeah.
There is plenty of stuff we're not aware of.
Exactly. Stuff,
stuff
that's
that has
happened.
Not been declassified and never will be.
And there's even, I mean, it's acknowledged and known that there are portions of declassified documents and stuff that were kept back, redacted or whatever. I mean, that's known. And that's for programs that were like in the 50s and the 60s.
Right. And that's what we're going to get into today. Some of these programs, even though they talked about some of these things, and yes, the stuff that's declassified is very outrageous. It pisses most people off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever, you know, well, nowadays it seems like this. It's funny because, you know, this is just going off on a little side note here.
Ten.
But, you know, in the past, my grandparents were pissed off when the government spied on them. They were sitting in front of the TV watching all the trials and the different things that happen on national television and all the speeches from the presidents, and they were involved in reading the paper. They were interested in what was going on. And today, I don't think that's so much the case.
Yeah.
Today, I think you get a lot more of that. Well, if you're not doing anything wrong,
yep,
you have nothing to worry about.
And plus the fear of terrorists. Although, I mean, there was the fear of communists or whatever back when, and that didn't seem to be enough to justify it. But now it's the fear of terrorists, and so many people. How many people do you know who are, you know, they're just glad someone's listening in because of the terrorists?
Right, exactly. The fear that is just swept this country is unbelievable. I mean, I mean, that's not surprising to me. I mean, I look at my grandpa, for example. My grandpa, I mean, I talk about a guy with balls. You know what I'm saying? Like, my grandparents, I don't know if everyone else's family is like this, but my family is certainly like this. I mean, my family, in comparison to the youth that they produced, were a lot more aggressive and ballsy. And they were not afraid of much. You know, their whole thing is, terrorists, bring them on. I got a shotgun. You know,
no,
what I'm saying?
I don't come from a family like that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got. Yeah, no, my
you
grandma.
And your grandparents?
No, my grandma was from France.
Oh, really?
In the war, my grandpa met her during the war, and my grandpa. I mean,
oh, they're French.
Well, my grandpa's
kidding.
Not, but
I just mess with you.
No, it's true. You've got a good point.
No, trust me, I'm not O'Reilly. I don't have a problem with French people.
There's French there.
But, yeah, I guess, I mean, maybe my family was different. I come from a different type of family, but my family would definitely have been like, you know, if there's going to be, you know, my uncle would have been the first one to sign up to go shoot Osama bin Laden type of person.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So, anyways, the topic of domestic surveillance here in the United States. Let's start
real
with
quick.
Our first,
real quick. You said your grandpa would have been the first to sign up to shoot bin Laden, and unfortunately, everyone who was the first to sign up to shoot bin Laden has found that, in fact, that's not really what they're doing
exactly.
or looking for at all. Sorry,
you know,
side note.
But also, my family is some of the most trusting people. Well, they weren't. My grandpa was in two wars. Mm. He received multiple medals. And you hear those birds chirping in the background? That's because I have
it's
a bird nest outside.
In the background.
Yeah. I'll probably close the window or door here in a second, but if they get too loud. But they're feeding their babies, so can't hurt it.
Okay. Birds got to eat.
No doubt. So my grandpa, like my family were like, my grandpa was in two wars and, you know, obviously you don't go through two wars without being somewhat patriotic. Most of my family had a military background to some extent. And, you know, the thing about it is that once they've experienced what it was like to be in the military and got out after two wars and seen how the government treated him and basically sweep you to the side, depending, you know, and they denied him for all the benefits he was alleged to get. After going through all that, you know, and nearly being killed, he realized the government was full of crap and politicians were, you know, the scum of the earth, and so he changed his opinion. But most of the, generally, my family is kind of trusting of the government. I'm a little different. So just before we get into the topic matter, you are welcome to call in at any given time if you wish. The number is 1-877-REVERE-0, that's REVERE-0, or the numbers of that number, 1-877-738-3730, or you can call me direct at 805-322-7392. Save yourself the money if you wish, and dial the 800 number. We're also on StickCam. You can see us on StickCam live right now. You can chat in the chat room. I don't know if there's anybody there, probably not. the StickCam profile address is StickCam, STICKAM.com/SoulReal, all lowercase. We're also on AOL, that's SoulReal. I'm going to change all these, obviously, because this is a show, just my show at first, and that's why I did all these, but I'm going to have to change them to incorporate
SoulReal
Justin.
SoulReal and Friend.
And Friend, yeah, no doubt. Just be Truth, Love, Freedom or something like that. But AOL is SoulReal. That's capital S, capital R, capital TLF, all one word for AOL. Yahoo, SoulReal, TLF, all lowercase. MSN, SoulReal, TLF, at Hotmail, all lowercase. You can go to our website, truthlovefreedom.org. We have the stick cam camera going there. We have this thing called I'm Online, even though the light things don't turn on anymore. I don't know why. You can click on any one of those, and it'll open up a chat client, and you can send me an instant message, or us an instant message.
Yeah. But call us.
Yeah, or
pick
call us.
Phone.
Yeah, if you have
877-REVERE-0, 877-738-3730.
Call us up. Let us know, you know, what you want to talk about, if you have any input on this topic matter. And
especially if you've knowingly been surveilled.
Yeah.
Especially by the government that you are a citizen of.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Anyways, actually, I don't know how you could tell. But if you could, it would be interesting to know how.
Yeah.
Anyways, starting with the 1940s. Because I couldn't find anything before the 1940s. Not to say that there wasn't any kind of surveillance going on or domestic spying. There probably was.
Yeah, domestic spying and surveillance, but it was probably a lot more like guys in trees. I mean,
right.
The technology wasn't the same.
You know, exactly.
The ability to
tap phones, for
intercept.
Example.
Like, yeah.
Not everyone had a phone, I assume. I don't know when the phones really started getting popular.
This is a bit of the history we don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened before 1940s, but things started coming out in the 1940s, starting with this thing called Operation Mockingbird. Now, it was a central intelligence agency operation to influence domestic and foreign media. Those activities were made public during the Church Committee investigation in 1975.
Yes, so that's not just to spread disinformation to, like, an enemy country to kind of, you know, change the way they think about us. That's actually to spread disinformation in your own country.
Right.
And use propaganda and basically own news reporters so that you can control what's being said on the news.
Exactly. They were doing surveillance on the reporters. Now, what they were doing exactly, and to the T, we do not know. But what we understand from what has been declassified and the information that came out during the church committee investigations was that they were looking for information to, what, blackmail them?
I don't know. I know that they
were sending reporters in, actually CIA agents posing as reporters. Spread disinformation. Let me make sure I'm accurate on this real quick. Now I got a number of documents here and just stuff like that, so it's gonna take me a little time to like kind of sort through it all. And please don't just take our word for it. I mean, I say this on every show, but I'm gonna say it again. Get off your tush, go do some research, you know. You have the internet, most people have the internet. If you're listening to the show, you obviously have the internet. You know, you can do the research. Look this stuff up. It's important. You have to understand if what your government is doing today. It's a vital importance in knowing what's happening and what you're gonna, you know, what you can do to change it, to make things change in a more progressive, more positive manner. So let me see here.
Yeah, what's strange, and not strange, it's just what's like telling about this. So this is like, you know, kind of the infancy of what you might call contemporary surveillance, you know, modern surveillance or whatever.
Right.
And so this is like post-World War II, and it's like, you know, there's some people in the government, and who knows exactly what their motivations are, but they've got a big sandbox to play in.
Right, and this is just after the founding of the CIA. I mean, almost mm-hmm. immediately.
Oh, yeah, the entire history of the CIA.
The founder of the CIA is Dulles,
spying.
Yeah, 1951, Alan W. Dulles is the person who was involved in this. And I think he is one of the founders of the CIA, if I do remember correctly. I could be wrong. If I am, feel free to let us know. But let me just read through some of the history of it. 1948, Frank Wisner was appointed director of the Office of Special Projects, OSP. Soon afterwards, the OSP was renamed the Office of Policy Coordination. This became the Espionage and Counterintelligence branch of the Central Intelligence Agency. Wisner was told to create an organization that concentrated on, quote, propaganda, economic warfare, preventative direct action, including sabotage, anti-sabotage, demolition, evacuation measures, subversion against hostile states, including assistance to underground resistance groups, and support of indigenous anti-communist elements in threatened countries of the free world.
Yeah, so this is basically...
Unquote.
Yeah, end of quote.
Yeah.
This is basically a couple people who are trying to pull the strings for the entire political world.
Right. Now, this was exposed by an article that was run in Washington Post, New York Times, Newsweek, CBS. All these different reporters started getting access to people who were saying that this was going on. Eventually came out. I'm sure they denied it a few hundred times. And eventually... because of other things, and we'll get into what those other things are here in a little bit, how it happened. But the very first exposure, believe it or not, was by a book published called The Invisible Government by a guy named David Wise and Thomas Ross. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they say that's probably what we could consider a conspiracy book, right?
I'm sure you're right.
And they're the first people who made it public.
Mm-hmm.
Ironic, eh? Don't listen to those crazy conspiracy theorists. So this basically came to the church committee, and we'll talk about the church committee here in a little bit because there's a few other projects. So that's one of them. I want you to do a little research on that. The next one, COINTELPRO, one of my favorites. I love COINTELPRO.
Why?
I'm just being an ass.
Oh, okay.
The acronym is Counterintelligence Program. Okay. Was a series of covert and often illegal projects conducted by the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now, this is the FBI, not the CIA. Aimed at investigating and disrupting dissident political organizations within the United States. The FBI used covert operations from its inception. However, the formal COINTELPRO operations took place between 1956 and 1971.
And the funny thing historically about this is you get this feeling that, in a way, this is like a pissing contest between the FBI and the CIA, and when the FBI finds out the extent of the CIA's domestic, you know, surveillance program, it's like they step up and have their own domestic surveillance program, and it's like it's kind of ridiculous, but it's like there's this kind of competition between them.
Yeah, I don't doubt that that's true. I mean, it was issued by J. Edgar Hoover, who ordered the FBI agents to, quote, expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, and otherwise neutralize the activities of movements and their leaders.
Yep.
Now, you know, some people say that this was specifically for the black movements. Well, that may be true, but they also had white groups targeted.
Yep. White people were included, too.
Yeah, everybody was included. Communist groups, socialist groups, anything considered the left, Ku Klux Klan, white hate groups, NAACP, the Congress on Racial Equality, or CORE, even Martin Luther King, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, on and on, Black Panther Party, the Republic of New Africa, so on and so forth. Everybody who basically was saying that the government was doing something wrong and they wanted to create change, they basically...
Yeah, they infiltrated and kind of tried to squash it.
And discredit them and all the other... So on and so forth. Now, part of this, obviously, was tapping of phones. Getting information was a major part of this. They did tap phones. They did infiltrate groups. They did do a lot of things. They broke into houses. Let's talk about some of the methods here, it says right here. Okay, according to attorney Brian Glick, in his book, War at Home, the FBI used four main methods during COINTELPRO. Infiltration. Agents and informers did not merely spy on political activities. Their main purpose was to discredit and disrupt. Their very presence served to undermine trust and scare off potential supporters. The FBI and police exploited this fear to smear genuine activists as agents. Sounds interesting. Sounds very familiar to what's going on today, in my opinion. Two, psychological warfare from the outside. The FBI and police used a myriad of other dirty tricks to undermine progressive movements. They planted false media stories, published bogus leaflets, and other publications in the name of targeted groups. They forged correspondences, sent anonymous letters, made anonymous telephone calls. They spread misinformation about meetings and events, set up pseudo-movement groups run by government agents, and manipulated or strong-armed parents, employers, landlords, school officials, and others to cause trouble for activists.
Yeah, this is the weird and intricate part of it. It's like they would set up a fake, like, revolutionary-type minded group just to attract the people who would want to join a group like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's insane.
And then they would do something crazy to discredit those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Which is, I mean, I think you see that a lot still. I think that's a real, kind of, in a way, in a kind of sickening way. It's a smart tactic. I mean, you know, you set up someone that looks like they're on the side of your enemy, but secretly you have all you need to undermine that person, and then your enemy goes down with them.
Right, exactly.
It's smart.
This may be a two-part show, just so you know, letting everybody know out there, because, you know, we're going to get through as much of this as we can. And take our time and just kind of delve into things. And I wanted to get into this even deeper, but I didn't really have the time to do all the information searching. So I'm definitely sure I'm going to want to continue on this topic next time just to get it all exhaustedly dealt with. Harassment through the legal system. The FBI and police use legal systems to harass dissidents and make them appear to be criminals. Officers of the law perjured testimony and presented fabricated evidence as a pretext for false arrests and wrongful imprisonment. They discriminatorily enforced tax laws and other government regulations and used conspicuous surveillance, investigative interviews, and grand jury subpoenas in an effort to intimidate activists and silence their supporters.
So this is like... It's the kind of thing, like, if you're at a meeting, you know, with all your business partners, and then all of a sudden the police come in and arrest you, it's not going to matter that you're let go 24 hours later and no charges are filed, because the damage has already been done. And this is the kind of stuff that was being done. I mean, people, you might get arrested or questioned. You might have, you know, police cars in front of your house or FBI agents or whatever. And it's all just a matter of making it look like you've done something wrong. It doesn't matter if you did. Right. It doesn't matter if they drop it ultimately. It doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, just the fact that they can spread all over the news that this person, for example, that this person, you know, is a suspect in a robbery.
Totally.
You know, that alone. It's all over the media. And then all of a sudden it drops out. They don't say all over the media, oops, we were wrong.
Yeah.
That's what you see today. They just spread it around, and it gets public opinion looking a certain way at this group of people, and then they back out.
Yeah.
And then they got you. They got you.
Yeah, that's absolutely all it takes. So you become a person of interest to the law enforcement agencies, and that's all it's going to take to ruin your life.
Right. Absolutely. Number four, extra legal force and violence. The FBI and police threatened, instigated, and themselves conducted break-ins, vandalism, assaults, and beatings. The object was to frighten dissidents and disrupt their movements. In the case of radical black and Puerto Rican activists and later Native Americans, these attacks, including political assassinations, were so extensive, vicious, and calculated that they can accurately be termed a form of official terrorism.
Yeah, I like the word extra legal. Like, I think that means illegal.
Exactly. Extra legal, like beyond limits of legality. Well, I think that's pretty much illegal. Mm-hmm. The FBI, so here they are. They're actually assassinating people, beating them, assaulting them, just doing vandalism, breaking in your house.
Ruining their reputation.
And this, my friends, is in the 50s. The 50s, okay? Not the 90s, not the year 2000, the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? At the end of the day, this thing with the guy who just committed suicide, who was the suspect in the anthrax case and all that. At the end of the day, one way or the other. I mean, whether the guy did it or not, you got to also think about that.
He got killed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so obvious. The DC madam, like, she really hung herself. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, whether the guy was guilty or not, and even if he really did kill himself, it doesn't matter because the suspicion was put there, and that's the real power is in that suspicion, especially if you're someone who has a job that relies on that your what's that word? I don't know. Anyway,
you know, the funny thing about that whole case is that the attorney basically said, "Well, had we had a chance to take him to court, we would have definitely have proven that." We would have definitely have proven that he was guilty. But conveniently for him, he won't have to now.
Yeah,
right?
No big deal.
Because the guy's dead.
Yeah.
If you can't, you don't need to go to court now. You can just say, yeah, he did it, and then just let it die.
Oh, yeah, reputation. That's the word I was looking for. A job where your reputation is important. It just takes one look in the wrong direction.
You know what's so funny is that all these evil people work for the government. Like Osama bin Laden, CIA trained, CIA payroll. Funded, right?
Yeah.
And you
totally.
Got this guy doing the. I mean, what is it? Maybe the government needs to do a little bit better job screening, or perhaps they're just full of it and they're using these. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to think about these things too. I mean, it's funny that they never bring these questions up. You know, I'm sure that if I brought it up in the media, if I said, yeah, they need to do a better job screening, they would all agree with me.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Second
oh,
I instigate, what do you call it? As soon as I start to say, well, you know, there's the possibility that this could be a government operation or something like that. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, so the thing about this that sounds so much like today is that basically this was all done in the name of preemptively, you know, keeping the peace.
Right,
basically, it was
right.
Striking out against people who I suppose at the end of the day J. Edgar Hoover decided might have been a threat to whatever J. Edgar Hoover decided America should be like.
Right.
And that those are the people who got targeted because someone thought they might be a threat. And
right.
It is true. Yeah, there were all sorts of different racial groups and stuff, but really the black Americans really got hammered hard by
this.
Yeah,
they did. They did big time. You know, there was the majority of what was going on was focused on the black movement.
Yeah, totally.
But you know what? Let's get into that a little bit. Because, you know, here's some interesting things. There was this group called the Weather Underground. And they
were a
domestic terrorist group, I guess you could call them. They would go around bombing buildings and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a good documentary about them. I think it's just called the Weather Underground,
Yeah, it's called Weather Underground.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a really interesting documentary. Now, I've heard a couple different things about these people. Now, one, I've heard that... the Weather Underground is a group of people who are pro-communist, and they were. They admitted it.
Not against the law, by the way.
No, it's not. You can be communist.
Not a communist teacher in high school.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to have political freedom, so you should be right. You're right. You should be able to believe whatever you want. However, some people have said, you know, and this is really interesting because the people who are in control of our country, like I believe, are communists in its essence. They wouldn't call themselves that, but that's what they're basically wanting as a form of government. That's the kind of model that they're forming themselves after. They're seeking that type of control, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the question is that, you know, being that these people are communists and you have a communist group rebelling from the communist leaders who are seeking communism, you think to yourself, what's going on here? Well, I've heard two theories about this. I've heard that in one, this is one, and this is one I think is probably the most likely, which is that, you know, people, the government doesn't want people rebelling under any cause. They don't want to lose their power structure, period.
Yeah.
And there's people who really believe that it's a right-wing conspiracy. For example, like Bush people right now, the left-wing thinks that the right-wing is just all, it's a right-wing conspiracy, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, and then when enough happens on the left, and the right-wing thinks it's a left-wing conspiracy, and it just goes back and forth like that. You know, communism mm-hmm. being considered more left in its extremity.
Right.
You know, like, I know a lot of people who are Democrats who have confessed to me that they're socialists or, you know, and a lot of them are. But, you know, the thing that's really interesting about it is that these people, either one, did not know that the leaders of this country are seeking communism, or they have a different idea about what that communism is.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what one of the things it really comes down to. And I think you're also right that it almost doesn't matter what the ultimate goal of an organization is. If it looks like dissent, mm-hmm. it's got to be taken care of.
Right, exactly. Because they don't care if you're – the point is if you're not in bed, you're not part of their group of people, you're not given the right to go and stand up for anything. I mean, you're supposed to have no choice. They're supposed to be making the decisions. And that's really difficult to do, you know, if you have all these groups, even some that may be seeking the same thing, standing up. Now, the thing about communism that's really funny is a lot of people think that communism is like a solution to capitalism, but that's a whole other show. I'm not even getting into that right now. But the Weather Underground was really interesting. But I also heard that the Weather Underground was a CIA front.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah, that they were going around bombing and that they were being discredited. And that only one person was, like, really prosecuted, from what I understand. One person was basically prosecuted on behalf of the whole bunch.
Yeah, there's one. And he's still in jail, right?
No, he got out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I've seen an interview with him since then talking about his time. And basically, you know, he's still involved in political dissidents. But he's not – he doesn't believe in – where he talks now from a position of not wanting violence.
Yeah, no violent action.
Now – I actually have this really cool shirt coming out that basically is going to show you my position on violence and dissidents. Maybe I'll show you it later on. But I'm going to be selling it off the website. I'll let you guys know when it comes out. It's a pretty cool shirt in my opinion. But anyways, the thing about it is that you know, there's all these different movements going on, whether it be a white movement, black movement. Now, the people in the government could be pro-white as hell. It doesn't mean that they want a bunch of white guys from Arkansas rising up and taking over the government.
Right.
Because that's not part of their plan. They're not part of the crew. They're not part of the agenda. And, you know, of course, the whole purpose of this show is to get into who is the agenda. Who is behind it? What mm-hmm. is it all about? And we'll talk about that in future shows. I'm sure you'll come to the conclusion on your own as we get into the information. So
I'm sure once you've heard all the facts, you'll agree with Carl.
Yeah, seriously. Not again. We'll see what happens. If you don't, like I say, come tell me why. I would like to know what evidence you have that are different or whatever. So let's continue on. COINTELPRO, the FBI also conducted more than 200 black bag jobs, which were warrantless.
Surreptitious
entries against the targeted groups and their members.
Yeah, warrantless being the key word there. And again, there's nothing new with what's going on today and really makes you wonder what we're going to find out in 30 years.
Right, exactly. Warrantless searches and seizures. What year are we talking about, folks? The 50s and 60s, baby, and even into the 70s. This is not new. Nothing that's going on today is new. It's been going on all along. This happened from 1956 to 71 on this project alone.
Yeah, under this name, which chances are it's just got a different name now, if even that.
Right, that's what they do. They just close down shop, switch the name, and open it up somewhere else mm-hmm. with a different name. And
yeah.
And then until it gets caught, then they shut it down. And you know what I'm saying? It's just an ongoing cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever gets prosecuted. Nobody ever really gets nailed. You notice that? It's always like a slap on the hand and then like, oh, you lose your position. And they go work for a corporation and make millions.
That's interesting. That's that's one thing. Growing up, my dad always made this observation. And as far as I know, it's correct. This was the kind of difference between the United States and the Soviet Union was when there was some kind of corruption that was found out in the Soviet Union, the guy whose head would roll was the top guy. Not the bottom guy.
Right.
When there's a problem in America, the guy whose head rolls is the guy at the very bottom of the chain.
Right.
And then, you know, the top guy ends up with the golden handshake or parachute or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Exactly. And that's the good old USA.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry to say it, it's your fault, people. Well, maybe not ours. I mean, today, what's going on today is our fault. What's going on in the past when I wasn't around was my parents' fault and my grandparents' fault.
Well, I might go so far as to say that what's going on tomorrow is our fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot of stuff we can't do anything about right now.
Well, right now the thing
is...
Because
it's in motion, I mean.
Yeah, well, we can stop it, but we need to, like, rise up together. And that's the thing about it is people are not rising up together. People are not... are mostly disinterested.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the whole point of the show, to make you interested.
Yeah, I liked this quote. This was from the church committee.
Mm-hmm.
It just sums it up nice. Too many people have been spied upon by too many government agencies, and too much information has been collected.
Right.
So this is in the 70s that already too much information had been collected. Too much of this had gone on, and has it stopped? I can't imagine it has.
No, it hasn't. And it doesn't matter what, you know, it's funny thing is, this is not just like the right wing. I mean, Democrats and Republicans are doing this alike. I mean, how many administrations did that go through? It's a 20-year period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
was that a whole Republican period, was it? I mean,
no.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
No. I mean, there's stuff under Kennedy, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it goes all the way up until modern day. So here you go, people. COINTELPRO, or it's the acronym for Counterintelligence Program.
Probably the only acronym that makes any sense in all of these. There's some really weird names for these projects.
Yeah, look it up, and we're going to get more into these in detail, and I'll probably do some interviews with people regarding COINTELPRO especially. Because it's...
Hey, maybe we can get Henry Kissinger.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I don't think I could actually, like, keep my cool long enough to do an interview with him. I'd be too busy cussing him out or something. Next one is Project Minaret. Did he say it, Minaret?
I have no idea. But it basically means it's the... a minaret is like a tower in a mosque, oddly mm-hmm. enough. I don't know why they chose that.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird names. Was a sister project to Project Shamrock, which I'll talk about next. Both of these projects went from 1967 to 1973. So, Minaret and Shamrock. Now, it was operated by the National Security Agency, which, after intercepting electronic communications that contained the names of pre-designated U.S. citizens, passed them to other government law enforcement and intelligence organizations. They intercepted messages... intercepted messages were disseminated to the FBI, CIA, Secret Service, Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, and the Department of Defense.
Yeah, this is so like, it's the man thinking he's doing the good thing.
Right.
It's totally what it is. This is like, you know, they decide, it's similar to the COINTELPRO in the sense that, you know, someone decided what names to stick on that list and what things to watch out for.
Right.
And then as soon as they get a hit, you know. That person lives in whatever, Los Angeles County. So maybe they pass it off to the Los Angeles Police Department or something like that.
Exactly.
That's all it is. And you got to realize, too, that you're talking about, and this is something that came up again recently after 9/11, but you're talking about that kind of conglomeration of federal and state agencies and county agencies and city agencies. They all sort of start to meld together in a situation like this where like the Fed is basically going to say, oh, here's some information, like as if that's going to come for free without any cost later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The names were on the watch list. The names were on a watch list of American citizens generated by executive branch law enforcement and intelligence agencies to detect communications involving the listed individuals.
Yeah, this is the best part, though. There was no judicial oversight.
And the project had no warrants for interception.
Yep.
Warrantless searches and seizures is what they call it today.
Mm-hmm.
Now we went from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to the 70s. Now this is a new one, starting from the 60s going to the 70s. Now, operating between 1967 and 1973, over 5,925 foreigners and 1,690 organizations and U.S. citizens were included on the Project Minaret watch list. NSA Director Lou Allen testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee in 1975 that the NSA had issued over 3,900 reports on the watch-listed Americans.
Yeah, what... No, talking about kind of the sister program to this, they call Shamrock.
Right.
Which is, like, basically the same thing, but talking about, I guess, telegraph communications, which I guess even up into the 70s must have been...
Right.
There must have been enough of it that it was worth doing. What I find most interesting about this, they're saying, like, at the absolute height of this project, mm-hmm. there were maybe, like, 150,000 telegraph messages a month that were analyzed by human beings, basically not computers, you know, nothing like that. It was people in a room sitting there analyzing, looking for these watchwords and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you look with Minaret, you got, like, but just roughly 6,000 people, 1,600 organizations that were included. Well, that's without... modern technology. What's
right,
amazing
right.
is that it's just people sitting in a room,
and right? Like and using buzzwords, yeah. and answering phone calls.
You,
yeah,
you can literally with like Google or whatever. I mean, you can search trillions of documents.
Yeah,
it's
very interesting that you bring that up because coming up later, I'm going to talk about something that people don't know about that's really important in understanding what's going on today because it is scary. Mm. I mean, it is frightening in my opinion. It's just crazy. So these two projects are what kind of started the whole FISA thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like everything kind of came to a head at once. Like in the mid 70s, all this stuff, a lot of this stuff seemed to come out at once.
Right, and that's what the whole church committee is. That's what
yeah,
it's
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So here you go, guys. There's two more. Let's move on because there's still a lot more to go through. Project Operation Chaos.
Great name.
Order out of chaos. Operation Chaos, or Operation MH Chaos, was the code, or MHCHAOS, was the code name for the domestic espionage project conducted by the Central Intelligence Agency. A department within the CIA was established in 1967 on orders from the President of the United States, Lyndon B. Johnson, and later expanded under President Richard Nixon. The operation was launched under Director of Central Intelligence, Richard Helms, by Chief of Counterintelligence, James Angleton, and headed by Richard Ober. The program's goal was to unmask possible foreign influences on the student anti-war movement. Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, just because they say that's what they're doing doesn't mean that's what they're doing. I mean, you got to take into consideration this is the same government that says they're not tapping your phone in when they are,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they say it, and they get caught, and then they go, "Well, it was only because of this."
Right.
We were watching for foreign influences. Man, they bullshit. You know, they're looking for anything that they deem to be a threat. Period. I mean, if you were to take all these, I guarantee that there was some surveillance going on, and they were interested in people that seemed like a threat no matter who they were.
Yeah. I mean, you get it's bizarre. It's like you get it in your head that someone's a certain way, and you can't let it go. I mean, we've all had that experience with people in our life, except for this is the government, and this is, like, not just people, but it's entire systems of belief.
Right.
That they've just, you know, they can just decide, basically. I mean, and honestly, like, this whole Operation Chaos thing under Nixon, kind of like all of this surveillance stuff was put conglomerated all together into one big gigantic thing. And so not only do you have, I mean, you've got basically one guy who has a very specific and in this case conservative, you know, right wing set of political beliefs who can now decide what the dangerous beliefs out there are. it's interesting. This is going to veer off into geek territory here. Sorry. I just read Watchmen. It's a graphic novel. Anyway, they're making a movie out of it, but it's an alternate history. And one of the interesting things is, in that alternate history, Nixon, Watergate doesn't happen, and Nixon ends up basically helping to pass an amendment to allow him to run for more terms as president, which I find totally fascinating and interesting, considering this kind of background and the kind of power that could have been grabbed if things had gone differently.
Yeah, interesting.
And I mean, there was a time there when I was almost, there was a time there a couple of years ago when I didn't think there was going to be an 08 election. I think there's going to be an 08 election, but I don't know. If you remember this time, did you feel this way? I was almost positive that there's no way there's going to be an 08 election. All the pieces are in place. for, you know, whatever fake reason that we have to declare some kind of emergency.
It's not over yet.
Yeah, I know it's not.
It hasn't happened.
It's not as scary. I'm not as scared of it as I was. Like, yeah, 3-4 years ago, I really, really remember feeling strongly that there's not going to be an 08 election.
Yeah.
There's just not.
I think I felt the same way, too, but, you know. I'm really suspicious. I'm just going to say this because, I mean, I may not be right, but I can't help it because I just, it's, I don't make a lot of predictions, okay? I make generalities. I go, okay, we know that the government's moving towards a new world order, but I don't get area specific. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something. I'm having a real, real hard time, even considering all of the support surrounding Obama, that he's going to be president. Let me tell you why.
You mean you have a hard time thinking he will be president?
I have a hard time believing that they're going to let him be president. I really do. Not only that, but because you got to think that Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or Bill Clinton, did more to move in the direction of a new world order probably than any president in modern history.
So do you think if Obama was actually to become president, do you think he is not going in that same direction?
I don't think he'll ever step foot in the White House as a president.
There's a prediction.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah. Now, like, and even more so, what's really concerning me is all this controversy surrounding the preparations for the Democratic National Convention, the so-called rioting that's going on. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how interesting would it be? How much would it separate the country even further, since that is what I believe their goal is, to have the assassination of the first black potential president?
Yeah. And not to get too conspiracy crazy, but at the same time, you have Hillary step right up, and that's a
right. And then you're right there. You got
Clinton, Bush, Clinton.
And not only that, though. Here, and this is where it gets even better. I don't believe that Hillary is going to be president either. Is that?
So you're basically crazy? You're basically John McCain is going to be the president.
I'm starting to think that. Well, think about it this way: they had all these other potentials that were actually liked by people. And John McCain was, like, at the bottom of the barrel. Like,
oh, yeah.
Nobody liked this guy. I'm not buying for 1 second that he got those votes. I was out on the streets talking to people as I was a Ron Paul supporter, right? I was out on the streets talking to people. I never met one damn person who said they were voting for John McCain.
Well, who would admit it? No. Okay.
I mean, I heard Giuliani. I heard everybody. I heard all the different people. What's the other guy? The Mormon guy.
Yeah, Romney.
Romney. I heard Romney. I heard
Edwards. Edwards was a big one.
Edwards?
Yeah, John Edwards. Good thing he didn't get it. Good thing for the Democratic Party, considering he just kind of fell off his high horse, unfortunately.
But you know, that's the thing about it is, like, I don't think that the powers that are in control would ever let a day come where a black man entered a position of power. So, especially at such a vital time in history.
That's interesting.
Because from what I've read from them, they honestly, and this is sad, I'm not saying this because I believe it. I'm not, you know, I really hope that I'm wrong. You know, but this is, I mean, I really hope that I'm wrong that he's going to be assassinated, but I don't think that I'm wrong about their perception of African Americans, which is that they're, you know, a few levels short of, you know, being a beast.
Right.
They look at them like they're closer to monkey than man.
Yeah, that's definitely the view that's out there, especially in America. I mean, it's not necessarily like that in the rest of the world. I mean, go to Europe, it's like race is still a big deal, but not the same divisions of race that we have. They've got their whole other different thing out there. But
yeah.
Man, in America, if you're black, man, you are demonized so incredibly bad.
Yeah, and I'm having a real hard time accepting this possibility. Now, perhaps the New World Order people who have been teaching this philosophy over the years has had an awakening and they've changed their mind on African Americans, but I don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think that they're they just play lip service to it. I just have a hard time. I just think to myself, I thought for sure Hillary had a better chance than Obama. And even more than that, a woman and a black guy. Now, women, they think women are too emotional by nature.
Mm-hmm.
That they're basically too emotional to be in a position of power because they're not logical enough. They're so ran by emotion that they're not capable of being reasonable.
Right.
That's what they believe about women. And I'm sure, like, considering who we're talking about, Hillary is probably one of the least emotional. I'm not saying that she's cold, but, you know, anyways. I'm just having a hard time with this. I'm starting to wonder if John McCain. Now, I'm not making a prediction, but I'm wondering if, you know, if these things are going to happen. So keep your eyes peeled. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I'm going to be watching. It's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
And remember, too, if the polls are close enough, it's easy to steal one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, not only would for Obama to pull it off, really, considering the machine that I would say that the Republicans have, the ability.
Bush. I mean, that's what happened with Bush.
Yeah, for Obama to pull it off, he needs to be significantly ahead in the polls.
Right.
I mean, there is a point where you're so far ahead, you can't really steal it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't fall within the margin of error. Then it,
right. And then when you have so many possible people, I mean, all these people, Huckabee, Romney, what's his name? Giuliani. They're all in the pocket, dude. Any one of these guys would have easily pursued the same interest. They're all the same position.
Right. They're all the same
person. And here you have the least popular, the one that was lowest in the polls, the one that, you know what I'm saying, said the stupidest crap. And basically every time he confronted, you know, Ron Paul, his ratings dropped more and more.
Who?
At first,
when Obama confronted Ron Paul, or when?
No, McCain.
When McCain.
Yeah,
sorry.
And McCain, you know, he started out on top because they were pushing him as like the guy.
Yeah.
And then he just plummeted. But then all of a sudden he emerged as the winner.
You know what's interesting too? We were talking about earlier how there's a certain kind of, like, you can't look like you're against the establishment, even if what you actually want is not that radical. If you look like you're against the establishment, you're going to be smacked down. Now, the interesting thing about McCain is he manages to be the establishment, but manages to look like he's not the establishment. He has an image in the news of someone who is just going to buck the system and completely go the opposite direction of whatever, you know, quote, politics is. And it's interesting because with him, he pulls off the exact opposite. He looks like he's a radical, and in fact he's just the same old.
Yeah, that's what's funny. They keep calling him like the Democratic Republican, like he's more on the liberal side of things, and I'm like,
no, they just say it because I don't know why, man. It's just popular for some reason.
More liberal than Bush.
Okay.
I mean, well, you know, I mean,
some would say Hitler was, but no,
yeah,
sorry.
I mean, anyways, so yeah, so I'm just back to the topic at hand. Actually, where are we at time wise here? Okay, in about 10 minutes we'll go to a break. So back to Operation Chaos. Now, I'm going to read this because I thought it was really interesting, the history. When President Nixon came to office in 1969, all the existing domestic surveillance activities were consolidated into Operation Chaos. Operation Chaos first used CIA stations abroad to report on anti-war activities of the United States citizens traveling abroad, employing methods such as the physical surveillance and electronic eavesdropping, utilizing liaison services, and maintaining such surveillance. The operation was later expanded to include 60 officers. In 1969, following the expansion, the operation began developing its own network of informants for the purpose of infiltrating various foreign anti-war groups located in foreign countries that might have ties to domestic groups. Eventually, CIA officers expanded the program to include other leftist and countercultural groups with no discernible connection to Vietnam. Really? Imagine that. Such as groups operating within the Women's Liberation Movement. The domestic spying of Operation Chaos also targeted the Israeli embassy, the domestic Jewish groups such as B'nai B'rith. In order to gather intelligence on the embassy and B'nai B'rith, the CIA purchased a garbage collection company to collect documents that were to be destroyed. They literally bought a garbage company and picked up their trash that was supposed to destroy their documents.
It's brilliant.
So when people come to pick up your trash, you know, and you're thinking, oh, it's the trash company, you know?
Yep.
Or any company that you are supposedly supposed to, like, destroy your documents, you never know.
No, you don't.
Man, I would just tell you, if you got some stuff that needs to be destroyed, destroy it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, burn that
fire.
Yeah. Yes. Have a big fireplace. It'll be nice. Have a bonfire. Have a barbecue. Targets of Operation Chaos within the anti-war movement included Students for a Democratic Society. Those evil Democrat. Black Panther Party. Women's Strike for Peace. Officially, reports were to be compiled on illegal and subversive contacts within United States civilian protesters and foreign elements, which might, quote, range from casual contacts based merely on mutual interest to closely controlled channels for party directives. Now, that brings to another question. Who do you know? You know what I'm saying? Who you chat with online? What kind of music do you listen to?
Yeah, and you don't even know who you chat with online anymore.
Yeah, on what they're involved in or whatever.
I've got to wonder also, going back to that you do not know who you're chatting with online, how hard would it be this is going to get real paranoid here, but for the government to set up a persona that is one of these tagged kind of people, these tagged groups, you know, and basically start a conversation with you online.
Right.
And then suddenly they have all the right in the world to look as deep as they want because you've made contact, you know?
Right. The fact that they're pretending to be somebody.
And- yeah. Or, you know, they could tell you, I don't know, it's paranoid, but
no, it's not
I'd do it if I...
Hey, you know, paranoia or not, the thing about it is like, yeah, you may say, paranoia is when you're, like, scared of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
This exists. This is really happening.
No, it is. And if I can think of it just sitting here, you know, I'm not a genius when it comes to thinking of how to, you know, be sneaky and crafty and spy on people. And if I thought of it, you can bet someone else has thought of it.
I mean, think about it, too. Like, we have a radio show, you know? You listen to Revere Radio. You know, man, doesn't take much these days, I'm sure.
Nope.
I mean, this is back then. Official reports were compiled. Okay, I read that. At its finality, Operation Chaos contained files on 7,200 Americans and a computer index totaling 300,000 civilians and approximately 1,000 groups. The initial result of the investigation led DCI Richard Helms to advise then-President Johnson on November 15, 1967, that the agency had uncovered, quote, no evidence of any contact between the most prominent peace movement leaders and foreign embassies in the U.S. or abroad, unquote.
Yeah, which is, that's basically all these suspicions that, oh, you know, we know better. These people know better. They know who to watch out for. And you'll see, they'll catch them in the act. Well, they didn't. They discovered no evidence, no contact, nothing. So all of this not only was done in the name of national security and some kind of preemptive action, but it was a complete failure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So moving on from this, sister project to Operation Chaos, Project Miramax. Miramax was a domestic espionage operation coordinated under the Office of Security of the CIA, and it involved information gathering procedures via infiltration and surveillance on Washington-based anti-war groups that may pose as potential threats to the CIA.
May.
However, yeah, just the fact that you're against anything aspect of the government that they're pursuing, especially, you know, one branch of it, one group called the Central Intelligence Agency... automatically your target.
Mm-hmm.
So you're literally not... I mean, let's say it how it is. You don't have the freedom to dissent. You don't have the freedom to disagree.
You don't have the freedom to know someone who dissents according to these kind of programs because you have a relationship with someone and that's enough. That's right. Enough probable cause.
And this is the 60s, y'all.
Yeah.
60s, 70s. Man. It involved information gathering procedures via infiltration surveillance. Okay, watch me guide it. However, the parameters for the type of data gathered also included general information on the infrastructure of targeted communities. Project Miramax and its twin program, Project Resistance, which I'm going to get into in a second, were both coordinated by the CIA Office of Security. In addition to the twin projects were branch operations that relayed civilian information to their parent program, Operation Chaos.
Yeah, it all reported back. At that point, I mean, everything reported back.
Back to chaos, yeah. So let's get back to the Resistance. Project Resistance was a domestic espionage operation coordinated under the Domestic Operations Division, or DOD.
That's usually the Department of Defense.
Yeah, usually it is. I guess this one wasn't. Of the CIA, because it's under the CIA.
Okay.
Its purpose was to collect background information on hostile contingencies around the country that might pose a threat. So you had one that was focused on foreign. You had one that was focused on just in Washington, D.C., and then one that was focused on the whole country. It's the exact same thing. It was just called different things. Its purpose was to collect background information on hostile contingencies that might pose a threat to the CIA facilities and personnel. Through 1967 to 1973, many local police departments, college campus staff members, and other independent informants collaborated with the CIA to keep track of student radical groups that opposed the U.S. government's foreign policies on Vietnam. What do you think they're doing right now, folks? Just because you haven't heard about it doesn't mean it isn't going on. So when you're listening, you think somebody's cool, you think that they're on your side, you think you're protesting with a friend, you think about it. You never know. You know, these obviously they're doing a pretty good job at infiltrating shit.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the twin projects were branch operations that relayed information back to their parent program, Operation Chaos. Next. We haven't even got to the 80s yet. I'm not scared. So, now.
We don't know what happened in the 80s yet. That's the thing.
Not much. Well, we know some. We know.
Yeah, we probably. Yeah, but I mean, we not to this extent. I mean,
I'm missing a form here.
You hit like the wall when you hit the mid 70s in the church report commission, whatever. You hit a wall where, yeah, everything up till then, to some extent, a good percentage of it came out, but nothing. You know, after that, there hasn't been anything.
There hasn't been any. Yeah, there hasn't been any real court cases on anything.
Yeah, there hasn't.
I mean,
been.
Pretty much everything's been given the thumbs up since.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Anything that was like, questionable was just.
Yeah, I mean, because you know Reagan didn't care. He wasn't going to put a stop to any of it.
Well, we knew about the Iran-Contra.
But that's like one incident. It's not like these are pervasive institutional like programs.
Right, exactly. The programs are not being released. And matter of fact, they kept asking him questions. And, we're going to humbly ask that you not delve into that area because of matters of national security.
Yeah,
remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I could have put that on repeat. How many times did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally everything. The question was asked during that investigation whether or not there was plans to overthrow the government of the United States and install a military dictatorship. And he did not answer no. He answered, well, considering the matter that it's a matter of national security, we ask that we not go into this area. If you want to arrange a special meeting, we can talk about that.
As if there's like that's a special area that you can go into. You know, the government's plans for establishing like a dictatorship in our country.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, and that's what they were going through back then. I mean, they literally at this point, the Central Intelligence Agency and the various intelligence apparatuses of our country were beyond Congress. Like Congress did not have authority over them.
And that's the battle that's still raging. I mean,
right.
And that's just what we see is the very, I'm sure, tip of the iceberg of the actual battle going on. If
right.
there even is a battle, other than, it might not even be a battle. It might just be completely lost.
Now, this brings me to modern day. Let's get into a little bit of the modern day stuff. Actually, let's go to a break and we'll talk about the modern day stuff in just a second. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's get a little rest here. Now, considering the subject matter, of course, I like to pick songs that are appropriate to the subject matter. This next song, I think, is dedicated from the government to you. You'll understand what I mean in just a second.
Are you sick of being fed lie after lie by the mainstream media each day? Don't you feel it's time to stand up and be heard? Are you ready for the alternative media revolution? Ready or not, here we are. Revere Radio Network, bringing you the best in alternative news and commentary.
Step.
That's right. They're watching you. Government loves you. Don't forget.
They love you.
So much that they want to hear. Every phone call. Read every mail that you get. They're like a truly obsessive boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, I've actually heard this song played at weddings before. It's pretty creepy. Yeah,
it is.
Every vow you break.
Yeah, that's not a good song for a wedding. But, you know. It's funny because I've heard that song a million times, and it never occurred to me to use it for something involving the government. But I was listening to the words, and I was like, dude, this is, sounds just like what the government...
Yeah, it's not a love song. It never was. I mean, it really... It is what it sounds like.
Really? You were telling me something about
that. It's a Big Brother song. I mean, this was the 80s, right? So,
right.
You know, it probably wasn't directed at all towards America. Plus, the police weren't even from the United States, but the police being the band that did the song. But... you know, it was probably more... If you listen to some early Police stuff and early Sting stuff, he'll talk a lot about Soviet Union and all that stuff. And there's a general sense in that music of, like, a fear of that kind of, you know, world that might come up if the Soviet Union wins or whatever. And I have a feeling it was more that kind of thing. And very much a 1984 kind of Big Brother song. And there was a lot of that in the 80s anyway. But, I doubt it was conceived of as being used for our government. Mm-hmm. But it sure can fit.
Yeah, no doubt. So, the number is 1-877-REVERE-0, 1-877-738-3730. Feel free to call in, and we'd be happy to talk to you. Now, this is one of the most important things to understand, because we're talking about government surveillance, right? But the problem was that this is surveillance in the past. This is pre the technology that we have today.
Way, way before the technology. This was guys in rooms reading stuff.
Yeah, and listening to phone calls and writing down what they're reading and stuff, typing it up. Things have come far, far, far more advanced than that today. They've come a long way. And no topic is more significant or concerning than this called the project called Echelon. Okay? Echelon is a multi-country a surveillance program. Nobody really knows all about it. We know some about it. It's very big. It involves Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom, and the United States. Now, considering that in like the 1950s, in the 60s, they used literally men and reading envelopes and listening to broadcasts over shortwave and things like that. That's how they did surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
They even did a little bit of phone tapping, but it was not easy to do because you had to go approach the phone company, which had to let you have access and so on. It wasn't something that... I mean, it took a lot to do a tap a phone, so you weren't tapping every phone in the nation.
Yeah, you just couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it. It would take an army of people to do it, half the size of the country. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't even possible. So you had to focus in on people that you were specifically concerned about. Hence, the focus in on certain groups and their leaders and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter what group, they did all the groups. No matter what spectrum you were coming from. Now, with Echelon, they have this thing... Where literally, you can I have it on my iPhone, for example. I was talking about my iPhone. I have a program on there. When I want to leave myself a note, I talk into this thing, and it transcribes it, and it emails it to me, and text messages it to me, so I can remember. I don't even have to type it. I can just talk into my thing, and it'll translate what I said, and it is very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There, for the purpose of Echelon, the surveillance community that are involved in this work together to produce the ability to literally have it transcribe words.
Yeah, and it basically you could flag words, and it would basically set off an alarm, you know,
right.
More or less when certain words or combinations of words, or maybe certain combination of words taking place between certain locations. You know, they could put all those kind of parameters in there.
Now, the spooky thing about this is probably the most spooky thing to me. Is that they can literally now not even listen to your phone conversations.
Oh, yeah.
They can record. They can sit there, and they can have their center set up. And who knows what's going on there, because we don't have access to it. We don't have any declassified documents, really. We have very little information that proves that this stuff is going on. So they can be doing anything. They have the technology now. Where as we're talking over the radio, as we talk over the phone, Every single conversation can be transcribed without a person being involved in it by a computer and saved into a computer.
That's the scary
part
right
there. For recall whenever they want it.
Yeah, because you might not have a warrant against you issued by the government to listen to what you're saying now, but it's possible that in 10 years, a retroactive sort of warrant will be issued where they can search what you said this year.
Right.
And that's exactly. Just still going to be there. It's bizarre. It's creepy. It's strange. I mean, if you were a law enforcement person, I can understand how it seemed like the most amazing thing ever. You know, you don't know there's a plot for some certain crime or something. All of a sudden, you find out what the crime is, and you go back. You listen mm-hmm. to every single phone call and whatever that mentioned those locations, those people, you know, whatever.
Right.
It sounds cool if that's what you're into. But
yeah, they can create a actual database of every conversation that you've had, labeled under your name by date, okay, where it tells every word that you've said, and they can look up certain keywords, and they can read a section of the comments, and if they like it, they'll probably recall the audio file, and they'll have audio of you talking.
Yeah, most likely.
And you know what? The thing that's really interesting is if we were to try to debate this or try to take it to stop this or whatever, they could simply say, oh, we're not really tapping phones because we're just saving it in the database.
Yeah.
We haven't listened to
it. No one's listening. It's like a tree falls in the forest and no one can hear it. Doesn't make a sound. It's that exact thing. Is it even surveillance if no one's listening to it? It's just sort of being streamed into some hard drive somewhere. No big deal, right?
Right. Unbelievable, the technology that they have today. And it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. Because, like I said, who knows? Maybe they're not just listening to phone calls. Maybe they have mics on all our phones and we don't even know it. And they're literally taking messages right out of the air, like on our day-to-day basis. If you walk around with your cell phone, almost everything that you're doing all day could be recorded.
And if that's not happening today, that will be happening eventually. I mean, if you think, you know, the way that things are now where everything shows up on YouTube or something, if you happen to be next to someone with a camera, you think that's bad. You wait 20, 30 years when people are going to be able to go back and literally quote something that you said because they have the recording from when you thought you were alone.
Right. So let me tell you something, okay? Like, for people out there who are listening right now that didn't listen to our last show, yes, they can turn the microphone on in your phone with even if you have it off.
Yeah.
As long as the battery's in there, they can turn it on remotely and listen to your conversations.
Even hackers can do that. I mean, the government, of course, can do that.
Yeah, and take into consideration now that most cell phones even have
GPS?
No, the talking out in the air where you don't hands-free.
Oh, yeah.
Speakerphone.
Yeah.
They have speakerphones. So you even have the access to even more conversation than they would for a normal cell phone.
Yeah, because just the quality of the mics and stuff is better than it used to be. I mean, it's not going to be long before you can pick up pretty much everything within range of a cell phone. And who among you is not right now in range of a cell phone?
Right.
Really.
Exactly. Everybody I know carries it around with them everywhere they go. Yeah. I have one right in front of me.
It's my clock. I don't even have a watch. Right?
So let's go through a scenario here. Here's an idealistic scenario. I'm going to the store to meet with a friend who is going to just hang out with me while I shop. And I'm going to come home. Now, my friend has recently talked to somebody on the internet who's a person of interest within the government. Okay? So they're checking that person out and, of course, anybody associated to that person. I have my cell phone with me. I meet up with them. All of a sudden, I become a person of interest. From that moment forward, they can use my GPS, and they can record literally where I am any time on the planet. They can record all my conversations, transcribe them, put them into a database, flag them for any keywords. If I happen to be somebody who, say, does a radio show called Truth, Love, Freedom, who happens to say a lot of information the government really does not like me talking about, okay? And I happen to hit on some really important topics that people ought to know about or something. Then they'll say that they search through that database and they find a chain of words that is suspicious. Mm-hmm. Not because it really is suspicious. Maybe I was talking about how much I hate a certain kind of toilet paper when I was shopping. But the word hate came out of my mouth, and maybe it came out in a way that is suspicious enough that it can be used against me in a court of law.
Or enough reason at least to listen to everything surrounding it.
Or, let's go even further. What if it was encoded? What if I was just using encoded language, and they found some way to decipher my language that toilet paper actually meant something else, like the government, right? Or I hate this toilet paper means I want to assassinate the president, right?
Well, now you just said it. That's
right. Well,
out there forever now.
But no, I'm just giving it. This is just theoretical. I would never do anything violent. It's against my morals. But you know, here's the thing. that allows them, that gives them enough ability and the tools necessary to not just stifle dissent, but to absolutely eliminate dissent. They can fine you. They can hunt you down. They can imprison you. They cannot give you a lawyer. People will literally never hear from you again.
Yeah, and hunt down is misleading. They don't have to hunt.
Yeah, they don't have to hunt. They can just pull up and take you. People, this is not good. This is not good. Especially with, and I'm telling you, if you keep listening to the show, you're going to learn that these people have an agenda, and that your ideas, your idea of what the world should be like, your freedoms, your liberties are not included in it. It's not important to them. It's absolutely frightening. And the scary part is that very few people are even clued in to the fact that this has been going on, much less that it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Go ask anybody. Take the list of these operations that we've gone through tonight and go talk to people on the street. Just as an experiment. Have you ever heard of Echelon? Have you ever heard of Chaos? Have you ever heard of... No!
Yeah.
COINTELPRO. I guarantee out of 100 people you talk to, you might talk to maybe 10 if you're lucky. And that's being really forgiving.
And that's just who've heard of it.
Just heard of it. Right. May not know anything about it. Especially because there's people who say they've heard of things they really haven't heard of.
Yeah, or like, you know, I used to watch Alias, you know, the TV show Alias. They talked about Echelon all the time. Would that qualify me as having
right.
heard of it before?
There you go. I mean, it's frightening. And it's important that we start working to inform the public on this stuff. So let's read through a little bit about Echelon. There's many pages here. I'm just going to skip around. Echelon is a name used in the global media and in popular culture to describe a signals intelligence, or a SIGINT, collection and analysis network operated on behalf of 5 signatory states to the UK-USA Security Agreement, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom, and United States, known as, oh, I don't even know how to say that, it's a combination of the names, OSCANZUKUS, or something like that. I think they might do it by letter, I don't know. The system has been reported in a number of public sources. Its capabilities and political implications were investigated by a committee of a European Parliament during 2000 and 2001, with a report published in 2001. Now, people may say, well, see there, it was investigated. Well, let me tell you something. The government investigating the government doesn't give me a whole lot of, you know, hope. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make me feel good at all, okay? The government investigating itself is foolish. It's ridiculous. Don't expect to get truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the government's going to bust itself. Give me a break. These people are all in the same boat.
Especially in that period of time. 2000, 2001.
Right.
You know, really?
Yeah. And not only that, think about the fact that, you know, what politician's going to have the balls to stand up to these guys? Because they're going to have an armada of information on them, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody's perfect, and I think that that's one of the biggest things they play on, is everybody has this idea that perfection is somehow like a possibility or something, or reasonable. You know what I'm saying? So when somebody gets caught doing something, they can blow it out of proportion. In its report, the European Parliament states that the term echelon is used in a number of contexts, but that the evidence presented indicates that it was the name for a signals intelligence collection system. The report concludes that, on the basis of information presented, Echelon was capable of interception and content inspection of telephone calls, faxes, emails, and other data traffic globally through the interception of communication barriers, including satellite transmissions, public switch telephone networks, and microwave links. The committee further concluded that, quote, the technical capabilities of the system are probably not nearly as extensive as some sections of the media had assumed, unquote. My response to that? Bullshit.
Actually,
bullshit.
Yeah, I think you find, I would not be surprised anyway, when you search online, you're going to find a lot of misinformation about Echelon. Got to imagine. I mean, there's an article, the Wikipedia article even claims that basically the way that communication is now disseminated, Echelon would be completely useless, basically, because no one uses satellites anymore. They're all using fiber optic cables, as if they didn't, you know, whether that's, even if that's the truth, as if they didn't think of that and maybe figure something else out.
Yeah, absolutely. The UK-USA intelligence community is assessed by the European Parliament to include the signals intelligence agencies of each of the member states, the National Security Agency of the United States, the Government Communications Headquarters of Britain, the Communications Security Establishment of Canada, the Defence Signals Directorate of Australia, and the Government Communications Security Bureau of New Zealand.
Yeah, who do they all report to?
The EP report concludes, I'm sure that it was to us. Echelon is a method of sorting captured signal traffic rather than a comprehensive analysis tool.
Right, and that's the funny...
You can analyze it later once you capture it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So it's just, like, we're just catching it. No big deal, you know? We're not doing anything with it.
Capabilities. The ability to intercept communications depends on the medium used, be it radio, satellite, microwave, cellular, or fiber optic. During World War II and through the 1950s, high-frequency shortwave radio was widely used for military and diplomatic communications and could be intercepted at great distances. The rise of geostationary communication satellites in the 1960s presented new possibilities for intercepting and international communications. You can literally grab it out of the air. The report to the European Parliament of 2001 states, quote, if UK-USA states operate listening stations in the relevant regions of the Earth, in principle, they can intercept all telephone, fax, and data traffic transmitted via such satellites.
Yeah.
Well, that's really underpaid. I mean, come on, man. Like, you mean that's... Everything goes through satellite. Now everything's going to the internet, but... At that time, everything went through the satellite.
Yeah.
So how's that not as able as they... You know, what did they say? What's the exact quote?
Right? Oh, yeah. The committee concluded that the technical capabilities of the system are probably not nearly as extensive as some sections of the media had assumed, meaning apparently the media assumed that, in principle, they could intercept even more than all the telephone, fax, and data traffic.
Yeah. Like, what else?
What more than all
What do they assume?
Want?
That they could read your brain waves? Yeah. Or, you know?
My only guess is that would be referring to people who also imagined that Echelon was the apparatus that searched through the information. It's probably just a separate program or something. Yeah. You know, it's a separate piece of hardware. That's
right. It's the one that captures it, and there's another program that's looking through it, or, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, Echelon's not that big of a deal. Because it's not the one that actually analyzes the data.
Yeah, it's that those four or five programs that you'll never, ever hear of.
For 30 or 40 years.
Oh, I don't think you'll ever hear of
yeah,
one
maybe.
Of these, because nowadays, they don't declassify anything unless you ask for it, and even then, a lot of stuff is, heavily.
Oh, yeah, totally. So. Decades.
Yeah. So, the role of satellites in point-to-point voice and data communications has largely been supplanted by fiber optics. As of 2006, 99% of the world's long-distance voice and data traffic is carried over optical fiber. The portion of international communications accounted for by satellite links is said to have decreased substantially over the past few years in Central Europe to amount for 0.4% and 5%. Even in less developed parts of the world, communication satellites are used largely for point-to-point or multi-point applications such as video. Thus, the majority of the communications cannot be intercepted by Earth stations, but only by tapping cables, intercepting lines of sight microwave signals, which is possible only to a limited extent.
Right.
How limited is the fact that recently we heard about the phone company setting up a room put up by the CIA to intercept those signals.
Mm-hmm. Which is it's no different than there was a program way back, this goes back I think to the 60s, where the CIA would basically have a room in the post office, you know, and they'd intercept the mail. Now, the post office technically didn't know what they were doing in there, supposedly.
Right.
But... Give me a break, you know?
Right. And we know that that room was a CIA room.
Yeah, give me a break, man. So maybe it's true. Yeah, there's not as much stuff going through satellites as there used to be. So, I guess that means no more surveillance, right?
Right. That means that they can't grab it out of the air now. So, you know, it leaves you to speculate, which is exactly what's cool, because they can just go, oh, that's not true. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
And the reality is we have plenty of other evidence that proves that it is happening still.
Yeah, and the fact is you need access to a very small number of points in the world in order to basically collect all the data that's going around. I mean, if you had access to enough of these strategic kind of points where data runs through, you'd have everything.
And those points are the corporations that run them.
Yeah,
the phone companies, the internet companies.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that they're doing stuff with them. We know that they are meeting at secret meetings like the Bilderberg and things like that. I mean, that's another reason. People always go, well, Bilderberg, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Well, if this doesn't tell you that it's a big deal, it's a pretty freaking big deal that they're able to do this. Because this is where they conversate and they get things. They
yeah,
get
that's the thing about it. It's like these are the people that have access to this stuff just kind of getting together and talking about what they can do or
right.
whatever. Come
and
on,
we
man.
Don't get included in that.
Nope.
So much for democracy. So, thus, the majority of communications cannot be intercepted by Earth stations, but only by tapping cables, intercepting lines of sight, microwave signals, which is possibly only to a limited extent.
Uh-huh.
One approach is to place intercepted... Okay, I'm going to go beyond this. Obviously, this is a line of crap, because... Now, we know Echelon is the center, and they intercept satellite signals. They know that. But they have no credible evidence for other capabilities. But then again, we know that the other intelligence agencies could be using certain to have one, you know, program that's intercepting phone, one program is intercepting email, mm-hmm. and they're filtering it back to the same group.
And it's ridiculous to imagine that they had the ability to intercept basically 100% of all these communications, but then technology changed and they just couldn't keep up. A, that's ridiculous. B, it's ridiculous to think that they were collecting all this information with absolutely no way of analyzing it. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, I mean, let's be realistic here. You know, there's hackers that are hacking into this stuff.
Yeah.
Normal hackers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's bullshit. I'm telling you. It's bullshit. It's more disinfo. Okay, so let's go on. Let's see if there's anything else here worth talking about before I move on. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. For Echelon.
Goodbye, Echelon.
All right, that's not important. Now, the Central Intelligence Agency, this whole program, this whole intelligence apparatus, they had this thing called Family Jewels, is what it was referred to, which is the informal name used to refer to a set of reports that detail activities conducted by the United States Central Intelligence Agency. Considered illegal or inappropriate, these actions were conducted over the span of decades, from the 1950s to the mid-1970s. William Colby, who was the CIA director in the mid-1970s, and helped in the compilation of the reports, dubbed them the, quote, skeletons, unquote, in the CIA's closet. Most of the documents were publicly released in June 25th, 2007. So that was just a year ago.
Yeah.
After more than three decades of secrecy. The non-governmental national. Did anybody hear about this? Did you hear about this on your local news?
This was.
I'm just curious.
This is about a year ago. This was a year and a month ago.
Right, a year and a month ago, they released the documents that spanned over 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah, and they say three decades of secrecy. No, the 50s to 2007. That's not three decades. That's almost six decades of secrecy.
No, it was from the 1970s. 50s to the 70s. That's what it was.
Oh, that was the compilation.
That's where the documents
got
were
it,
from.
Got it. I was thinking of the secrecy of what was actually collected in the 60s. I mean,
yeah. And I'm sure after that it stopped.
Oh, of course.
Until recently, of
yeah.
course. The reports that constitute the CIA's family jewels were commissioned in 1973 by the CIA director James R. Schlesinger, another lovely individual we'll be talking about in the future. In response to press accounts of CIA involvement in the Watergate scandal, in particular support to the burglars E. Howard Hunt and James McCord, both CIA veterans. Now I wonder, like, when you join the CIA, like, do you have to have, like, I mean, I wonder if one of the criteria is that you have to have a total disdain for the principles that America was founded upon. Because how the hell can you participate in stuff like this and not feel like a total piece of crap?
Because you think it's for the good. You think it's for the good. That's how you do it.
I wonder if they're just like these thugs who they're like, yeah, we're going to give you a lunch, a lot of money, you're going to have to kill people,
no,
and
because
do whatever you want, and you'll have total immunity. And they're just like, yeah, badass.
It's nice to imagine like, that there are people like that, but that's the easy way out. And I think it's far more terrifying and realistic to imagine that these are people who think they're doing good for the good of all.
The only thing is that CIA people are not dumb guys.
Exactly. And why they're not thugs.
See, they're not dumb guys, but the thing that trips me out is, like, how is it that they could be so dumb as to fall for any kind of patriotic rhetoric that would contradict the very principles America was founded on.
See, I think
unless they have a lot of technological knowledge and physical, like, you know, like they're really like scientists, but they have no political knowledge at all, and they're able to be easily manipulated.
My opinion, this is so 100% opinion, and it's based on, you know, the people I've known in my life who are law enforcement people. Okay, this is not a representative sample of the world or anything like that. But my opinion is that those people don't generally agree with the principles that the country was founded on. It's a nice idea, but in reality, someone responsible sometimes just needs to kind of go around those things. And everyone I've ever known who's law enforcement in any way has been wired that way. They're the type of people who would take advantage of, you know, something that maybe technically was illegally gotten, but it's going to stop harm later. And, you know, sometimes that might even, you know, that might turn out to be a good thing. You might stop an attack or a murder or a robbery or something like that because you overheard something you weren't supposed to overhear. I mean, yeah, that happens on the small scale, you know, on the local scale maybe.
Yeah.
But you take that attitude and you expand it and give it the tools to hear everything ever said by anyone.
Right. You know, I have an uncle who's a cop and, you know, he's a piece of crap. Personally, I can't stand the man, but he literally thinks everybody in the freaking world is a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unbelievable how. I mean, this guy is the darkest person I've ever known, and I don't talk to him very often. It's beyond me. But yeah, I listen to this guy talk. You know, he just literally thinks that everybody in the world is a criminal.
Yeah, and it'd be hard not to. I mean, I knew one guy. Only if you lived in California, probably, would you know about this. But there was a serial killer, Richard Ramirez, who was called the Night Stalker in the 80s. And he was basically, he'd kill people and he'd leave satanic symbols and stuff like that. I knew a guy who worked on that case. And, man, this guy, he's the most jaded person that you're ever going to meet. How can you not be? But you take that attitude and then you give those people the tools to basically control everything.
Yeah.
Although, at the same time, how do you get to a position of power without seeing all the crap that humanity does? How do you not get jaded by the time you've gotten to the point of having access to any of this stuff that maybe, I don't know, maybe early on you thought, oh, you'd never use that, you'd never do that, but how do you not get jaded on the way? I don't know. I couldn't survive in politics.
You also got to consider the fact that the CIA is like has probably the most advanced profiling apparatus or technology ever in history, you know, and they're able to find the perfect person for each one of their jobs.
Yeah, that's
you know?
That's very true.
Which is
that's
you know,
very true.
It's just bizarre, and know what just what to say to them too, huh? So, on May 9th, 1973, Schlesinger signed a directive commanding senior officers to compile a report of current or past CIA actions that may have fallen outside of the agency's charter. The resulting report, which was in the form of a 693-page loose-leaf book of memos, was passed on to William Colby when he succeeded Schlesinger as director of Central Intelligence in the late 1973. I bet his jaw hit the floor. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, I mean, according to this, his jaw did hit the floor. He said, was this him? Well, anyway. Yeah, I'm sure. How could your jaw not have hit the floor?
Yeah. They're like, yes, you're about to come into the most patriotic of positions in the country. Here's a book on all the crap that we've done. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the smallest evidence that that's how his reaction might have been. This is the one he dubbed the compilation of reports the skeletons in the CIA's closet. I mean, that doesn't suggest his jaw hit the floor.
I'm sure it didn't, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right. My jaw would have hit the floor.
They wouldn't have gave him the job if he didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
He wasn't on the same thing. So now, here's the thing that's interesting. Investigative journalist Seymour Hersh revealed some of the contents of family jewels in a front page New York Times article in December 1974, in which reported that, quote, the Central Intelligence Agency, directly violating its charter, conducted a massive illegal domestic intelligence operation during the Nixon administration against the anti-war movement and other dissident groups in the United States, according to well-placed government sources, unquote. Now, we know that the CIA, from past programs, infiltrated the news agencies, planted stories, sent disinformation, all this stuff, with the knowledge, obviously, of the person who hired them. I mean, they have to. I mean, maybe not. Maybe they were so good that they all just got jobs. I don't know. How many positions are open in high-profile reporting?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
If you're a reporter and you have access, and the government wants you to get a job and they want to do it without the people hiring you actually knowing, I mean, they could just give you scoops, the information for stories that are going to get you hired. I mean,
maybe
if you're being hired by the but that's giving too much.
I'm not giving them that much credit, especially since I know since the 60s the Bilderberg Group's been going on, for example, mm-hmm. since the 50s and 60s. So, you know, and other groups, they're in bed together, man. And so obviously the heads of those people. So how is it that these stories suddenly break? Now, maybe this is me being a little down the rabbit hole in conspiracy theory land, but bear with me for a second. Entertain the notion. Here you have a CIA apparatus infiltrating the media. The media heads, part of groups involving the government and members of the intelligence community. Wouldn't you think that if there was such a break in the story, the editor would have stopped it? If it wasn't allowed to come out
if
for some reason?
If it wasn't sanctioned, it's possible. Yeah, sure.
Now, this is the premise I'm coming with. This is the whole basis of why I'm bringing this up, a lot of this up, is because the government doesn't tell you what they don't want you to know. Hence the classified, redacted information. The stuff that they do let you know is only a minor amount of what's really going on. Let's be realistic here. There's programs we have never heard of and we probably never will hear of, and sure. They're probably so dark it would scare the... It would probably easily cause a revolution. However, so why is this information coming out in the way that it comes out, these so-called exposés? Why is it that they're talking wireless, warrantless searches and seizures and tapping your phone and this and that all over the media today when it's been going on for 30 damn years or more? How is it that this stuff happens? Why?
Well, now it's interesting. I'm thinking back to my description of John McCain as a fake, kind of a fake revolutionary who's really absolutely not in any way advocating for any kind of change or anything different. It makes me wonder when there is something like an expose, is that the same thing? It's the illusion that we're in a society that can progress via things being uncovered and revolution happening and changes and stuff. And really, it's tightly controlled. I mean, it's a good point. The newspapers are hiring these people who are government agents. Right. Unless they didn't know 100% of the time, you've got to...
Or you would think that once they knew, they would, blow the top off of it and send them... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Write a report on how this person's... don't listen to this guy's reports. It was all bullshit. He was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
And then, make a big deal about it, but they don't.
Yeah, that's interesting. Definitely. I mean... it is down the rabbit hole, but man, it's a level of control for sure, and it would be effective.
Yeah, my reason for bringing this up and what I believe is that it's done on purpose. It's done to allow number one enough plausibility that everyone believes that there's corruption within the government, so they have to bring some stuff out. Bringing nothing out would make people suspicious beyond belief, so they have to cater to that aspect, but also. They're only letting enough information get out. They're not letting the whole secret out because they are doing, covert operations and propaganda campaigns and subversive things galore. And I think the reason why they're doing it too is because, and then lately, so much, especially, right now with the whole Bush thing and they're making a big deal about it, is because they want America to think that democracy doesn't work. I really think that. I think there's this big push to make everybody think that a democratic republic doesn't work. They don't want people wanting that style of government anymore because that's a government for the people when they have choices. The weird thing is if the people actually asserted themselves, we could definitely have change. We have that kind of system where we can make it happen. The mechanisms are being stripped away from us piece by piece to prevent that and make it more difficult. And that process alone is making people more apathetic. But I think in reality, that's part of a plan. I really do. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I don't think that any other form of government could provide the kind of apparatus that a democratic republic would provide.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, advocate, because I know there's people who may disagree with me, but I think that the real reality is, and this is what, was it Benjamin Franklin said? They said, what did you make? I think it was Franklin, I'm not sure, but they said, what did you guys, when they were talking about in closed door session, talking about the Constitution and drafting it and stuff. He goes, what did you guys come up with? And he said to a reporter, he said, a republic if you can keep it. And basically, all the founding fathers basically warned us over and over again of misplaced trust in government and that the fact that these factions would eventually come to seize the government, and it was the people's responsibility to stop it. You use the mechanisms and the power set up, but it would require you to be active in preserving those freedoms. And I think that's what's going on. The people are whether it's by design or by just matter of human nature, are allowing these things to happen. And it's going to continue down that road until we're at a point where we can't do anything. And it's getting pretty close, I got to say. I mean, like I said before in other shows, if Hitler had the technology we had today, we'd be speaking German.
Yeah, sure. I think, though, not to... I don't know. I understand what you're saying, especially about a democratic republic and the possibilities that presents for actual true freedom and people taking part in the government and all that kind of stuff. But I don't. I really think it's against people's nature. I don't think you can buck against human nature. I don't think that people in general are wired in a way where they're going to be involved.
Right.
People don't want to be involved.
I think See, that's the thing. I haven't really made up my mind whether I think it was by design or by a matter of human nature. Because the people who rule this country come from that position. Like, basically, what's going on in the world is they deserve everything they're getting because they have not been responsible. You know what I'm saying? And they look at it from the perspective that people are generally stupid, primitive people, and that, you know, the wiser should rule, and that even if the people ever had the right to rule, they would surrender that because they want to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
People would quickly surrender that for temporary safety or, you know, a little bit of money or whatever. People are sell out like crazy. They don't understand the importance of these things. And so I think there's an aspect that is kind of, you know, there's some truth there, but I would like to believe in that human nature. If not affected in the way that it has been, which I believe there is a lot of propaganda going on, if they were to continue, if there was a movement to pursue the ideals that our country was founded on versus, you know, the reality, which is the school system's been infiltrated, the history's been changed, all this different stuff that's been going on, the propaganda, maybe that's what's changing their mind. You know, maybe they would embrace these ideas. I mean, that's...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they would embrace the idea of freedom and continue to pursue those things and not go down this road.
I think you might find outbreaks of people pursuing freedom for short periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as much faith as I have.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
So there's a complete set of documents with some redactions available online. Do a little Google. Do a little Google work. I'm not going to do it all for you, but look into it. Family jewels, keywords, COINTELPRO, all the other fun stuff. Now, we have FISA. Now, FISA is a really interesting thing because out of a lot of that controversy and those revelations, the FISA thing came about, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978. FISA.
Like, in response, basically, with the exception of Echelon, pretty much all the programs that we've been talking to kind of, in some way, exploded onto the public scene, all at once.
Right.
And this couple of years after that, you know, relatively quick, if you think about it, FISA was developed, and that's what this is. It's basically, FISA's the attempt to somehow... basically understand that surveillance is going to happen no matter what, so let's just try to put some reins around it, I guess.
Right. Well, here's the thing about this, the FISA thing that I call the infamous two steps forward, one step back.
Right.
That our government loves to do, right? So their whole thing is, you know, yeah, we'll pass the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and what this does is it's supposed to limit, it basically says that things like phone calls and everything are covered by... the Fourth Amendment, I think it was, the unlawful searches and seizures without a warrant type of thing. I think it's just the Fourth Amendment. Let me double check it real quick. I should have this memorized. I'm ashamed of myself right
now. It's okay.
I need to memorize it right now. So the thing about it is, what it does is it allowed, believe this or not, it allowed, though, for the government to get FISA warrants after already doing the surveillance.
It's retroactive.
Which,
like,
what's the freaking point? I mean, the purpose of a warrant is to say yes, you can do it, or no, you can't, based upon your justification for doing it. If you can do it before you get the warrant, warrant is void. Mm-hmm. It's just basically like, yeah, we looked into this person. Okay, here you go. Here's a piece of paper that says you have permission.
You had permission.
Oh, you had permission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same state of mind that collects and saves onto hard drive all the conversations that ever happened, because you can go back. It's the
exactly.
same. It's the same exact mindset.
It's the same idea, yeah. Except for you can actually do it before any warrant is even issued.
Yeah, FISA, it's amazingly strange in a way. I mean, it's of the thousands and thousands of FISA warrants that have ever been out there, you know, very few, something like 5 have been denied ever, you know, and as far as I know, I don't think we know what those 5 were. What if they were retroactive ones that were denied? Oh, well, the surveillance already happened, right? So even if those 5 were denied, whatever damage there was already done. FISA is weird, man.
Yeah, it's a trippy.
And it's strange that I personally, and maybe I don't understand inside politics enough, but the Bush administration tries to expand FISA pretty vigorously. And in fact, they have made some headway in that direction, but I can't understand what needed to be expanded. And maybe that's just my fault for not understanding it. But you can basically, based on a whim, I suppose, you can wiretap someone for an American citizen in America.
Right.
Without a warrant until 3 days later.
So, yeah. So everyone's always talking about FISA, FISA, like it's supposed to be our protection. Well, let me tell you a little bit about FISA. Before FISA, this is the process the government had to do in order to do surveillance on you. One, they must have some kind of justifiable suspicion upon the person in question. Two, a judge must know about the situation and declare that it is suspicious enough to justify the breach of civil liberties. This protected by your Fourth Amendment rights, which prevents unreasonable searches.
There you go.
Three, the warrant is issued to the phone company. Four, the equipment is installed at the telephone company if necessary, or the calls were forwarded. That's the process in order to tap your phone prior to FISA. After FISA.
Now.
One, call the telephone company and tell them to tap under FISA. Two, get a warrant later.
Yeah, that's basically it. And the interesting thing, too, about getting a warrant, and actually I don't know what the situation was like pre-FISA in these terms, but you basically only have one side represented at the FISA court, and that's the side that wants the warrant. There is absolutely no one advocating, not even a token advocate, someone who is a complete puppet who pretends to advocate for the rights of whoever is being investigated. There's none of that. It's 100% just, you know, the one lawyer there is on the side of the government wanting to wiretap, and there's no dissent in the FISA court. Other interesting thing is these people are appointed. I mean, you got to wonder, how do these people become FISA judges or whatever? Well, they're appointed by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which, you ever wonder why that's an important position?
Yeah.
I mean, if that person's a puppet, then everyone on the FISA court's a puppet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it just makes it, I mean, they literally have, blink, you know, whatever they want to do. Yeah. So that's the thing that's funny, too, is because everyone's making a big deal about what's going on now. It's been this way for a long time.
Yeah, since the 70s it's been this way.
Yeah.
And before that, even though it wasn't technically legal, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
As we saw. So this is the improvement. This is supposed to be the good compromise in how we're all made safer and more, I don't know, secure and private.
Yeah. And so now the NSA, with the help of the Bush administration, okay, with all the different things that he's passed, and I'm not going to get into them all right now. We're going to get into Bush. Bush is like a freaking year's worth of shows by himself. But with the new surveillance technology, the different passing, the new FISA amendment that has gone on, this is what the government has to do now. Nothing. They have to do nothing. They just tap. They have the rooms already set up. Nothing. No process. No oversight. Nothing.
Yep.
So that sounds horrible, but it's not like it's that bad, because it's been going on all along either. I mean, since the 60s, we have been tapped, surveyed, co-opted. You know, we have not had freedom.
Yeah. And before the 70s, it was the same.
Right.
It was just technically illegal.
Right, technically.
Now it's technically
and
not so illegal.
Unless you got caught, it didn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
As long as you didn't get caught.
Yeah, because whose heads rolled in the, you know, after all this information came out? Whose heads actually rolled? You know?
Not many.
I'm sure.
I wouldn't call it.
Because a lot of those same guys, I mean, heck, Rumsfeld's name comes up all the time when you look into the history of this stuff. And we all know he never went anywhere. Not to pick on Rumsfeld.
But. Now, to make matters worse, just real quick, based on the Patriot Act, okay, now all you have to do is catch something that they don't like in any random phone or internet conversation, pick up this citizen and hold them indefinitely as an enemy combatant without rights.
Hmm. Sweet.
Now, and then when you listen to the justifications that they have in these things, I mean, they're so vague. Literally, if you're teaching a religion, you're classified as somebody who can be an enemy combatant. If you're teaching, if you're doing a radio show like ours, you're an enemy combatant. If you're protesting, even in a free speech zone, you're an enemy combatant. You're an enemy combatant if you have ideas and you're actually out trying to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it takes. So they can literally just decide anything that they want and send you off to a secret prison as an enemy combatant, never to be seen again.
Yep.
Tried without a lawyer. Tap all your... Total information awareness is going to be the final spot here. Because it's a relatively recent thing. Total Information Awareness is an office they opened up. They actually changed the name. I think that it was a little bit too aggressive. So they called it Information Awareness Office now. The IAO.
Is that real?
Yes, real.
Man, you got to see their seal.
The seal is the all-seeing eye pyramid on the back of the dollar bill watching the planet
the
Earth.
World.
So much for trying to be inconspicuous. They're just like, it's just like,
and
boom, it is.
And the little pyramid that, you know, has the all-seeing eye at the top, I think it's larger than the world, too, which I think is interesting.
The Information Awareness Office, IAO, was established by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, the Research and Development Agency of the United States Department of Defense, in January of 2002 to bring together several DARPA projects focused on applying information technology to counter transnational threats to national security. The IAO's mission was to, quote, imagine, develop, apply, integrate, demonstrate, and transition information technologies, components, and prototypes, closed-loop information systems that will counter as asymmetric threats to achieving total information awareness. So you were wondering, the echelon and their ability to integrate new technology, and that there's no proof that they're doing this. Well, here you go right here. And Total Information Awareness, or Information Awareness Office, is that's exactly what they do. They make sure that they can keep a hand in all this technology and continue tapping your phones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the technology changes to, they're going to make sure they can continue to have that access.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to think otherwise. It's completely naive to think they haven't kept up. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it is totally naive. But there's people who believe it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so sad.
There's good misinformation out there, though. Good disinformation.
Yeah.
That can be confusing.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to continue more on the topic next week. We're going to talk about some of the investigations. I'm going to play some clips, hopefully, if I can get some on YouTube and stuff, whatever's available. And we're going to continue on this topic of surveillance. Because I want you to be aware that maybe you haven't been convinced that the government, like I say, is in serious trouble, that it's been hijacked by criminals that are seeking out agendas that are not for your benefit, which have dire consequences to your future and your children's future and your grandchildren's future. And God forbid they have children, because they're going to be totally screwed. They might as well just slam a cell on them now. That maybe you're not convinced that the government is like that. Well, at least be convinced that if it is, the fact that they can do all this puts you in serious risk. It literally is better off for you, not for your children, but better off for you to just keep your mouth shut and just close your ears and do not listen to what we talk about on the show. It literally is. It's in your best interest to bury your head in the sand, because if you try to, if this rises up anything in you and you want to do something about it, you're putting your ass on the line, straight up. And you better hope that with this technology, those people really are good. You better hope that they really are looking for your best interests. Because if they're not, you are screwed.
Yep.
screwed.
And you better hope that everyone who succeeds them is looking out for your best interest.
Exactly. You better hope. You know, and that's what I was talking to. I talked to Republicans, too, and they're always talking about how it's all this is good, you know, that Bush is doing for terrorism and all that. And I wanted to say, what happens when a Democrat comes in the office and they have all that power?
Mm-hmm.
And you should see it. It's like a light comes on. Oh, my God. I never thought of that.
Yeah, but no one looks for it. No one looks at tomorrow.
Unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. So, with all that being said, I think it was a good show. We'll do another.
I had a good time.
We'll do more on it next week. Please do your research. Get off your duff. Do some internet Googling. Read about this stuff. Learn about the stuff that we talk about. I'm not just doing it for the hell of it. I'm not anti-government. I love my government. I want to see it restored back to what its principles are and what it did for the world at that time period. And I believe that it has the capability of returning back there again, or I would not be doing this right now. It would be better for me to bury my head in the sand. But I really believe that there's a chance that we can change it if you inform the public gets active, and we do something about it. Because sitting on your butt and watching American Idol is not going to help. I guarantee it. And you better hope that you don't say the wrong thing or know the wrong people, because one of these days someone may come bashing down your door and drag your ass off to some foreign country, you know, with a black bag over your head. Mm-hmm. And you better, you know, and I think at that moment it's going to be a little too late to do anything. A little too late. With that, truthlovefreedom.org. So real, Justin.
See you later.
And we'll check you out next week. Peace and love. Let me live my